Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, you guys know that I'm a wrestling coach, I'm a lifelong wrestler, and I'm passionate about the sport. That being said, all wrestlers love wrestling shoes. You got to have the best shoes. And for me, my top choice is Terra Grappler. This company's only been on the market for a couple of years, and they are making a huge impact, game changers. Ever since I started wearing Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, I have not went back to any other brands. First off, man, they look good. You got to be swagged out whenever you're wrestling, but they have to be functional. The fit and form of these shoes is tremendous. When I put them on, they have a sock liner. They absolutely mold to my foot. They feel perfect. I wear them on the wrestling mats. I wear them whenever I'm lifting weights. But honestly, I could probably wear them anywhere. They feel so good on your foot. So if you're looking for a good wrestling shoe, coaches, wrestlers, MMA fighters, boxers, weightlifters, make sure that you check out Terra Grappler. All right. They also have beanies, t-shirts, socks, accessories like that. But man, I'm telling you what, this company is innovative. They are changing the game. You can go to the link in my show notes, get yourself a little discount. You can also sign up for the Champions Club. So every time you purchase or people purchase using your link, you can get yourself a discount toward wrestling shoes and Terra Grappler wrestling gear. They are the best on the market, hands down, guarantee you. Check out the link in the show notes. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped, man. Today I have a good buddy of mine, Michael Fessler, on. And Michael was a great wrestler, but he has written some exceptional books. So he's an author, speaker, I would say like an overall wrestling guru, like the man knows the sport, stays up with the sport, and really probably one of the most inspirational people that I know. And I'll kind of get maybe later on get into how we officially met. So, man, Michael, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So let's just start here, man. Tell us about like where you grew up at, maybe some of the sports you played. And then since wrestling was your big sport, like how you got into that.
Yeah. So I grew up in the Kansas City area. I was an all sport athlete. So, you know, wrestling, football, baseball, even soccer. But pretty early on, we kind of knew that wrestling was the main focus, even at a very young age. My dad was a wrestler for a short time, so he introduced us to the sport when I was 6 years old. And I've got three brothers, so, and I'm stuck in the middle there somewhere. So I got an older brother, and then there's me, and then my younger brother Richard, and then my youngest brother Joe, and we all wrestled. So it was kind of a family thing. And I actually, to this day, still remember walking in the doors to my very first practice, and just not really knowing what's happening or what's going on. But I still just have that memory of walking in there the very first time, the smells, the feel, the just everything. And yeah, I was very much a part of the youth wrestling circuit in the Kansas City area, did a lot of traveling. You know, the Tulsa Nationals, the Reno Championships, and back then, even the AAU Nationals was a big thing. I don't know if it is anymore, but lots of traveling in the youth circuit. In high school, I went to Oak Park High School. Back then, Gary Mayab was the coach there. He's now the head of the Greco-Roman program for USA. And my sophomore year, transferred up to, or not transferred, but moved up to Minnesota, wrestled for Apple Valley, which was a powerhouse program back then. Won a state title in both Missouri as a freshman, and then my senior year up in Minnesota. I got recruited out to Cal State, Cal State Bakersfield, which has a phenomenal program and has been really holding on to their program for as long as they can. They had a scare some years back about losing the program, but Coach Kerr was a really well-known coach back then. So I went out to Cal State, only wrestled for a year, and before I ended it. Maybe we'll talk about it later, but that's a part of my story, is really my exit from the sport prematurely, and something I regret to this day.
Yeah, so that's, I know you have an extensive wrestling background. I mean, and we were talking previous to recording here, and wrestling at Fargo and all the various things you've done. And it's funny because you and I met through writing, right? And met through books, but we probably have crossed paths at some point where I was actually coaching against you with a few of the guys that you've competed against. And so wrestling is just this kind of crazy small world, like, right? I mean, there's wrestlers everywhere, but it seems like we're all interconnected somehow. So I want to kind of start out with, we know your wrestling backgrounds, and then faith is just, it's what's the biggest thing in your life, a huge part of your journey. But let's go ahead and jump into you becoming an author and books, man. Like, how did you, because, a few of your books, I mean, you got Faith in Wrestling, The Wrestler Icon, you've written a number of books. Faith in Wrestling was your first, is that right?
That's right. Yep.
I say, or maybe it was just the first one that I read, but I believe.
Yeah. No, that was the first.
Yeah. And so tell me about that process. Like, at what point did you decide, like, hey, I'm going to write a book?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I left Cal State and I was done wrestling, and there was things going on during that, both personally, also I was dealing with injuries, and really my mental game was never there, despite the success that I had growing up and even in high school. My mental state just was not there as a competitor. So I quit wrestling, and somewhere along the way, faith had always been a part of my life, a very important part of my life. But somewhere after leaving Cal State and trying to navigate my life without wrestling being a part of it, I really engrossed myself in my faith and really re-immersing into the Bible and reading scripture. And I just remember reading the Bible, and just what I was reading, it was almost like I was reading it for the first time. Mm. And it was affecting me in a way that is really hard to describe. And I had this passion that, I was involved in ministry on a volunteer basis with high schoolers, and eventually decided maybe I should, study theology, go into ministry, that sort of thing. I felt a little bit of a calling, if you will, to go into ministry. So I went to Bethel University, and I'm sitting in class, in one of my classes, we're talking about theology and church history and all this stuff. And at the same time, I'm sitting there, and I was kind of making my way back to the sport more as a fan and spectator. And the NCAA tournament was happening that weekend. So we're sitting in there. It was more of like a seminar type setup for the class, where you're literally sitting there and you're just having a discussion about different theological subjects and stuff like that. So we're talking, and on my mind is both theology, the Christian faith, and wrestling. And it's just swirling around in my head. And I kind of exit out of the conversation that's happening in front of me. And I'm just thinking about these things. And I start to see my life through the lens of a wrestler. And things just start making more sense to me. Not just about my faith, but just spiritually and going through life. I start seeing this lens of a wrestler and its connection to everything. And I go home and I just start writing. And the very first line that you'll read in the introduction of that book, Faith in Wrestling, is, it's a question. Faith in wrestling, what's the relationship between the two? And that was the question that was on my mind. What is this relationship, and how am I seeing my life through this? And I just start writing. I do that for about a year and just keep shelving it. It was just some more of a way for me to get out what's in me internally. So it was just a personal project at first, and I would shelve it from time to time. And eventually along the way, I felt, you know, I could turn this into something. And then I was watching the NCAA tournament one year, and that book was still kind of sitting on the shelf. And I forget what year, it was probably 2011 or 2010, one of those NCAA tournaments. Literally like half the champions that came down talked about their faith. Mm-hmm. One of them being Quentin Wright, literally looked at the camera. They're trying to ask him about his match and his thoughts about it. And all he can say is, Jesus loves you. Like, and it just hit me, all these guys, all these wrestlers who, you know, this is on national television and they're using their platform. The first things that come out of their mouth is about their faith. And I'm like, man, there really is something here. There's a niche here that people are willing and open to listen to. So that was kind of the start of the Faith in Wrestling project and book that came to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing to me in the wrestling world. I don't know, and maybe in life you see what you look for, but it's amazing to me the amount of people that are very dedicated to their faith and open to their faith. And it's funny because wrestlers are also tough and gritty, and you know, and if anybody knows college wrestlers, I mean, there's a lot of wild guys and like to fight and things like that. But I think overall, a lot of wrestlers are pretty passionate. And then when they find Jesus, man, when God steps into their life, that passion and that dedication turns toward God as well. And wrestlers are open about it. So, all right. So you get this thing, you get this written, your project written. Tell me about the process, because I always love that. And I'll talk about here in a minute, just our connection. But I've had a number of people reach out like, hey, I'm going to write a book. Like, how do I do this? You know? So yeah. What was the process for you to turn your personal or passion project into an actual book?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it started off as just a personal thing. I never intended it to be a book, let alone like published and other people reading it. Mm-hmm. But as I was in the process, and man, there's a whole story, because it took years in the making, just because, like I said, it wasn't intended to be in book form.
Yeah.
There were things that happened in my personal life that I returned to the book, and pieces of that lens of a wrestler came more alive and more real to me because of my experience in life and in my faith, that I was now able to finish up the book. But when I had the idea to actually like transition into this can be a book, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know anybody personally that had written a book or endeavored in doing that. I looked at myself and I was like, on it, I'm Mike Fessler. I'm nothing. I'm not like a Cale Sanderson or Tom Brands or anybody of high profile that someone would want to read a book that I've written. So there was those doubts that were creeping in my mind. But I had this project and this super heaviness on my heart to get it out there for other people to read. And I fought it for at least a year. Every time that heaviness, I would say, God, there's no way. There's no way that you can use this. Maybe if you have another author, someone of more high profile that people want to listen to, maybe that'll work, but it's not going to be me. And I continue to ignore, but that heaviness on my heart would not go away until I pursued publishing the book. So I basically had it out with God and I said, okay, fine. I'll reach out to somebody. And if you can make it happen, you can make this a thing, I will move forward and do it. So in that moment, I remembered watching a, I think it was Flow Wrestling video of Jack Spates when he was stepping away from coaching to go into ministry. And something about what he was talking about and his passion for ministry and being such a great coach and involved in the wrestling world, thought, I don't know if he would, you know, reach back out to someone like me if I reached out to him, but I'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. So I sent him an email with the introduction to Faith in Wrestling. And I said something to the effect of, you know, this is a project I've been working on. I'd like to, you know, work towards getting it published. If you have any interest in this, read it. And if you have any interest, reach back out to me. And I gave him my contact info. So about a week or two goes by, I don't hear anything. And my wife and I are sitting, and we had just gone grocery shopping, and I look at my phone and it's number from Oklahoma. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. It's possible it could be Jack Spates. And sure enough, it was Jack Spates on the phone. And he said he just absolutely loved what he read. He wanted to be a part of it. And he wanted to be a part of spreading the word about what I was doing and about this project. So the very next day I interviewed him in the book. So his story is in the book as well. And then he was central to getting it out to groups like FCA and Athletes in Action and all his connections. And I made connections with those two organizations that were a good part of being a support and spreading the word. Mm-hmm. So that's how it happened. So we published it and got some endorsements through Jack and Athletes in Action, and we published it and it spread. So
yeah,
I think one of my kids is sneaking in here. Hold on.
It's all good.
Sorry about that.
It's all good, man. One of the things, I'm one of those guys that when it comes to podcasts, like I like real. I mean, the podcasts I listen to, I don't want too polished. I mean, it didn't have to, I don't want like terrible sound or anything, but I want real, man. So
yeah.
And I got four kids, and my kids roll in from time to time while dad's recording episodes. And but no, so it's amazing to me a couple of things that you said, but one is God can use anyone, and we've seen that time and time again at, you know, in scripture. Oftentimes we don't think it's us, you know, and like you said, I mean, you don't feel like, hey, like I'm not a Kel Sanderson. I'm not a Brands. I'm not John Smith. I mean, not Jack Spates, right? I mean, who's going to listen? Who's going to want to hear? But we don't know how God's going to use it to impact somebody else. And another thing is, it's amazing how many times you can reach out to people and they want to help, like they'll respond. And I don't know if that's just because they're nice or this is like a God-ordained thing, maybe a little bit of both, but I've learned that over the years. There's so many people, and even with this podcast, a lot of people that I have on here are friends or people that I know or acquaintances, but there's people I don't really know, but I find them super inspirational. And I just reach out, and many times they're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's share the story, you know? So, and Jack Spates is a phenomenal guy. Passionate about Jesus. So it's so awesome that he jumped in and did that. So I'll kind of connect our story, you and I, because my journey was a little the same whenever I was writing my book, Game Changing Moves. I had been blogging for a couple of years, never expected it to be a book. And I won't go into that whole story, but long story short, I have an opportunity to create a book here, right? Publish a book. I have no idea what I'm doing, zero. I'm like, I don't even know, like, if I'm going to write the manuscript and send it to somebody, what font should it be in? How should I have it organized and all this stuff? And well, there's a number of books that I've read that I like. And so I'd read your book and I'm like, okay, I don't know the whole story behind this, but I know I really like this book and I'm just going to reach out, you know? So I just reached out to you and you're like, yeah, I'll look at your manuscript. And I sent it and you gave me some ideas and thoughts. And so that's how we connected. So kind of the same thing. I didn't know you, but I was like, hey, I like the way this book is written and the way it's laid out. And maybe this guy can help me and give me some tips, you know, and then you jumped right in and did that. And then from there, you know, we had a friendship. But
yeah.
Okay. So, but beyond Faith in Wrestling, I mean, you've written a number of other books. I would say like you are a prolific writer. Like, I don't know how you put out so much content. I don't know how you're so good. Yeah. Like you are exceptional at writing and getting your thoughts on paper. And then also, you know, connecting that to speaking, which a lot of people who write end up speaking. Not everybody has a gift for speaking, and you do. You have a gift for communication. I'll just put it that way, whether, you know, via writing or speaking. But so, you know, you go on and the wrestler and icon. I know you've written Faith in Wrestling for Kids now. What makes you want to continue writing these books and putting them out there? And how much time does it consume? And I like to ask these questions because people ask me sometimes, hey, how long did it, you know, take you to write your book? And I'm like, literally everybody's story is different. Every author I've ever spoken to, their stories are different. But this has kind of become, it's a huge part of your life, right? And you're an entrepreneur. But tell me a little bit about why you continue to write books and that process.
Yeah, so each book, it's a different experience, right? So some books can take years in the making. Some can take months. It all depends on the project. It doesn't make one better or, you know, easier than the other. It's just, I guess, where you're at and the experience with that content itself. So, you know, the first book, Faith in Wrestling, gosh, I started in what, 2010, 2011. It wasn't published 3 or 4 years later. And a lot of that, like we had talked about, was, you know, it was the very first project. And there was a lot of personal doubt that I had in even putting something out like that. So there was that piece that prolonged the process. But then there's books like The Wrestler, which took me like 3 months. And I was just kind of immersed in the moment and the experience of writing the book that I was just laying it all out there. There wasn't a whole lot of breaks in between. I never felt like I had to step away from it for a little bit, like you do for some projects. Sometimes you need to just kind of step away, let it sit for a while, and then come back to it. But The Wrestler, I didn't have to do that. And I was just kind of, every single chapter that was laid out there, I mean, it was just one after the other. But I put the content out there because I guess, as we've talked about, wrestlers are passionate people. I'm a very passionate person. And the response that I got from the original book, Faith in Wrestling, has really bolstered any project from here forward. The amount of support and positive feedback that I've gotten from that first project really helped further projects moving forward. I don't have to really deal with the doubt or anything like that, that people can benefit from it or that they want to hear or read about what's in there. It makes it a little bit easier, but a lot of it does come, it's just a very personal, passionate project, each piece.
Yeah.
Since then, I've moved away from writing books and more focused on the speaking, because I think I have put a lot of content out there, and I think people can digest that content, and I can move into a different medium of speaking and being able to travel and share my message through the spoken word, you know, rather than the written word.
Yeah. Yeah, I often have people ask me like, hey, when are you going to write your next book? And I'm like, I don't know, man. At some point I will. But I also speak and have, you know, do the podcast and some other passion projects and things that feel like kind of call me toward. But it's like, yeah, once you have the message out there, then it's awesome to be able to go and share it. And you can also go a little deeper with personal stories and things like that. But I've often wondered this. Okay. And, you know, when I look at authors who have several books, I'm like, which one is their favorite? You know, Because as fans or people who read series or read one author a lot, you know, we kind of develop our favorites. But so out of all the books you've written, which is your favorite and why?
It's a tie between the most recent one, not Faith in Wrestling for Kids necessarily, but because that was more of a rewritten work of Faith in Wrestling for on a kid's level. Yeah. But Icon. And they're just not interested. And the interesting thing about that is they're just not interested, if I'm being honest, was a failed project. Yet it's one of my favorite books that I've put out there. So the attempt of they're just not interested was to bring the Faith in Wrestling message to a broader audience, to try and pull people in to the faith and wrestling message. So maybe they don't have any experience as a wrestler on the mat, but we all can relate to faith and wrestling in a life sense, or in a metaphorical, symbolic sense, and how it relates to our faith and in our life. And I think it's really well done. It's really well written. There's a lot of my personal story in there. But that book came out too early. It came out right after Faith and Wrestling, about a year or two after Faith and Wrestling. And I was trying to use the momentum that I got from Faith and Wrestling and thinking, wow, if this is the response I got from this first book, maybe I can branch out more and not just the wrestling community, but maybe I can pull people in. And I think if I would have let Faith in Wrestling settle for a little bit and had a better marketing strategy in trying to pull people in to the Faith in Wrestling message outside the wrestling community, I think it would have done a lot better. But yeah, that they're just not interested in Icon are my two favorites.
Yeah. I would say Faith and Wrestling, of course, because that's my exposure to you, but mm-hmm. I really like Icon, man. And I like the thought process of it. And I think a lot of people, me included, because I want you to talk about it real quick in a second. But mm-hmm. When I hear the word Icon, I also hear the word idol in my brain.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So as the wrestlers, I mean, or as people of faith, as Christians, we kind of have this like, don't have any idols, right? We've read the Old Testament, hopefully a little bit, and don't have any idols. So you connect the two in your brain. Yet in the sport of wrestling, I have all these people that are icons to me. I mean, these guys that I grew up just, I guess you would say idolizing a little bit, but they weren't truly like idols in my life. They were icons. And so for me, whenever I read this book, I'm like, okay, it's profound. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I didn't ever even realize that these two words I had like identify with one another, even though they're not the same. So give me the thought process behind Icon. Give me kind of like a synopsis of it.
And this is why Icon is one of my favorites, is when I was thinking of writing that, I was looking back at the content of Faith and Wrestling, and really Faith and Wrestling as the book was just the foundation of what are we talking about? What is the relationship of faith and wrestling, and what does it look like? But Icon was, okay, we got the foundation. What are we really talking about on a personal level? What does it mean if I take on this relationship of faith and wrestling? What are we trying to do? And that's where that comes from, is we are trying to be an icon. And where that comes from is the Greek word in the Bible, when it talks about us being created in God's image, is icon.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what it is. And an icon is a reflection reflection of something greater than itself. So if we are created in God's image, we are created to reflect Him. And which is the opposite of what an idol does. Idol reflects simply themselves, or even beyond that, extracts everything that they can and soaks in everything they can for themselves. But in the very foundation of why we were created is to be God's icons, to be reflections of who He is to the world. And that's the wonderful thing about, you know, the Christian faith specifically, is that this is at the very center, the very foundation of our faith, is why are we here? What is the purpose? Well, God told us from the very beginning, I created you as my image. So God can and does His own work in the world, touching people, being a part of our lives, amazing things that God can do apart from us. But He wants us to be a part of His work. He wants to use us to reflect who He is to the world.
Yeah.
And that's a deeply relational thing. And it's incredibly meaningful thing, and pretty amazing that he allows a reality in which we can be a part of what he's doing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, it was almost a paradigm shift in my mind whenever I read that, because, you know, we're called to be salt and light. We're called, you know, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. We're called to be, to use our platforms to glorify God, to reflect his image, not to, and so many times in wrestling, and we can talk, because I'm going to talk to you about mindset here in a little bit, but yeah. So many times in wrestling, I've made wrestling my God. I've made wrestling as something that was so big for me. Whenever I won, it was awesome. When I lost, it crushed me, right? And even when I gave my life to Christ, there were a few times I let myself slip back into that, you know, and I would thankfully make adjustments and then realize, like, wait a minute, man, wrestling is just a sport. This is a gift that God has given me, the physical, mental tools to be able to do this sport. I'm going to use it to glorify him. And as a coach, I try to do the same thing. So like I said, it was almost a paradigm shift in my mind when I read that, because I was just like, wait a minute, like, I'd never heard that, what an icon actually was. And I just had this connection in my brain. So we want to be icons. That's not a selfish thing. In my mind, it would be a selfish thing to be an icon, like to consider yourself an icon. Well, it's not me. It's that I'm reflecting God's image and glorifying him and everything. So anyway, for anyone listening, man, I mean, you need to get all these books. Faith and Wrestling, start there. But like I said, Icon is probably my personal favorite, just because I wasn't expecting that. I think maybe you sent me the manuscript ahead of time too, and I start reading it. And it was one of those things where I was like, couldn't stop, because I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, it caught me off guard, and it pulled me in like all good books do, you know? Okay, so whenever I had written my book, my manuscript, I had yet to read your book. So, but I start off my introduction with, you know, Genesis 32, talking about Jacob wrestling God. And in faith and wrestling, you do that too. So I try to read a lot. So even whenever I was putting all my stuff together, I'm still reading, heard about your book. I get it, I read it. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And again, one of those things, like, I got to reach out to this guy. So in wrestling, there's such a mental side of this, right? So as Christians, or as people, as human beings, let me start there. We often have these wrestling matches with God throughout our lives. And I know for me, that's my story, man. Like, I knew God was real. I knew Jesus was probably real, but I had these wrestling matches my whole life until I was 19. And I finally, God pinned me, right? And then he made me tap or whatever. Like, I was like Jacob, man. And I don't know that I said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. But I knew that God had won this battle, and I gave my life to him. But wrestling, like, there's this constant battle that we have too. And you said it at the beginning of our interview here, at the beginning of our conversation, that even as successful as you were as a wrestler, you didn't necessarily have the mental game where you wanted it to be to maybe reach your full potential, right? So in life in general, and as Christians, we often have these mental battles and these spiritual battles that go on. But just like in plain everyday talk, on the wrestling mat, man, we have these battles. And those who have wrestled know. I played other sports growing up, football, baseball, things like that. And there could be a lot of mental to it. But stepping out on the mat, you and one other person with lots of other people watching, or even if it's just in practice, right? It's just on you. It doesn't matter. It's just 100% on you. If you mess up, you mess up. It is a mental game. And if you don't have your mindset correct, you can't use all the physical tools that you've been developing. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what have you learned post-wrestling that you wish you knew as a wrestler? And I know that you, like I said, you speak a lot and things like that, but what are some things, if you could go back and talk to your 18, 19 year old self, that you wish you knew in the mental side of the sport?
Yeah. Well, for me, what I've learned just looking back on my own experience and the things that I've studied and also written about, it's holistic to me. It's not just the mental side. I think the mental side is incredibly important, but it's all interconnected. Mm-hmm. So I often talk when I'm speaking to college wrestlers, you know, we talk a lot about the mental side and how important it is. Because really, how you think about something can impact your entire approach, even your emotions, you know, involved in it. But also, we need to talk about, you know, what's going on in the heart, what's going on in here, because your mind can be right, but you can have stuff going on inside that that no one's addressing or talking about that are just as important. So for me, it started off talking about the mental side of things and how important it is. And I know there's great organizations like Wrestling Mindset that's really done a good job of delving into the mind game of wrestling. But for me, it's the more I learn and the more I study this stuff and reflect, it's a holistic approach to it. You can do the mental training, but if you're not also in tune with what's going on with your heart or even spiritually, that can affect your performance as well. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's become more of a holistic approach for me, not just the mental side.
I like that wording. I'm trying to think, there's an author that coined the term. I did not coin the term. I wish I did, but it was the first time I had heard it. And if I could think of the author, I'd give him credit, but I read so much. I don't know, who knows, but it was, you talk about mindset, but he also talked about heart set. Right. And I'm like, I've never heard that terminology. So mindset matters, your heart set matters just as well. And so whenever I do mindset training with athletes, and I work for Wrestling Mindset, whenever I do mindset training with athletes, I make sure that I try to make it holistic and that we're also addressing the heart and the heart set as well. Cause you're 100% right. Those things are interconnected and they affect the physical. They affect every part of you, right? If one area is struggling, another area is going to be negatively impacted. And so we're humans. Nobody's 100% perfect. And if I had the, exact key for somebody to make them 100% every area, then I would do that. I don't, but I think we have some really good strategies and methodologies and things like that to address those areas. I know for me, if I could go back, one thing I would add to my training as a younger athlete, whether it be high school or college or whatever, is I wish I would have had some sort of mindset training or sports psychology or somebody who could set me down and say, like, hey, have we addressed these areas? And like you said, the emotions, and even just nervousness, right? People like, they get nervous about being nervous. Like, oh man, I'm nervous. It means I must be scared. And then all of a sudden you start having all these negative doubts run through your mind. Well, like being nervous is just part of it. Like I wrestled 1,000 matches in my life and I was nervous every single time. I don't know that there was one time I wasn't nervous. You got to learn to embrace that and learn the value of it, you know? But no one told me that. So it's like you pick up bits and pieces along the way as an athlete, and hopefully you have some great coaches who can instill some things in you. And looking back, I'm like, I remember a coach saying this and it impacted me a little bit in this area. I didn't know how much at the time. So give me like two things that if you could talk to yourself whenever you were a freshman in college or whenever you were a senior in high school, what are like two things that you wish you would have addressed that would have helped you be a better wrestler?
Yeah, man, I would have to go all the way. I think it starts when you're a kid or whenever your beginning stages are in the sport. But mine was when I was a kid, and that's partly why I'm so passionate about this. Is I'm not speaking or writing from a position of success. Like I haven't lived out what I'm talking about. I want people to live out what I'm talking about, but I'm speaking from a position of failure. And so if I could go back, I mean, a lot of it wasn't just mental. It was my heart. And so I would tell myself, you know, not only from the mental side, you have what it takes to be successful. You're just as good as this guy. Yeah. You have the same, if not better, skill set than your opponent. But also, Michael, you're valuable no matter what happens. Your identity is not wrapped in what you're doing on the mat. Your value is far more than that. You as a person, Michael, you are loved and you are valuable no matter what happens on the mat. Like to me, that would hit my heart, and that's something I needed to hear. And I think a lot of parents and even coaches, starting when kids are very young in this sport, need to kind of check themselves in how they are responding to kids. So, you know, I have a picture of when I was a kid, if I won a national tournament, who's jumping up and down, going crazy and hugging me and giving me that love and affection that I need. I would experience that when I accomplished something on the mat. And then the response would be different if I lost. Yeah. So now my emotions and my heart and my value and my identity are wrapped into this interplay of, I have to win on the mat in order to receive this value and love and affection. And if I don't, I'm not going to get that. Yeah. Or I'm going to disappoint my coach, or I'm going to disappoint my parents. Or we have to be very, and it's not saying that you can't be super excited if your little wrestler does something extraordinary, but you have to make sure that you are being equally loving and affectionate and putting in good things into their who they believe themselves to be, even in the downtimes. Like really being mindful and intentional about putting good things into their mind and into their lives, no matter what the outcome is on the mat, because kids are far more emotional than they are intellectual, or they are so emotionally driven that they need those equal responses no matter what the outcome is on the mat. So yeah, I wish someone would have come to me and told me that my value is not reflective of what happens on the mat. And then also that I have what it takes, because I did from the mental side of things and just my abilities on the mat, they were at a very, very high level. But I would beat myself up mentally that I just could not perform to my highest potential. And whether it was when I was a kid or even in high school or college, I wish someone would have told me that. I think it would have done a world of difference for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, everything you just said is so profound. So profound. It's crazy how we connect our identity. And I talk to parents about this a lot of times, you know, and hopefully the bigger crowd that's listening to us right now really takes it to heart as well. And I tell athletes I'm working with this too, like your parents and your coaches, your teammates, like the people that really matter in your life, they're going to love you regardless, win or lose.
Yeah.
But they may react in a way that doesn't necessarily show that love. And a lot of times it's not intentional. It's maybe ignorance on their part. They just don't know. Right. And so, and I talk to parents about that. If your kid wins and you're high-fiving them and hugging them and you're pumped, your kid equates that with love. I did.
Yeah.
I did as an athlete. When your kid loses and you turn and you walk out and you give them a cold shoulder, or you yell at them, or what, or you punish them, right? I mean, I've coached wrestlers and I've been there, you know, and you punish them. That now equates a lack of love. That's the exact opposite. The amount of pressure that puts on a kid is huge, because now they're like, if I win, I'm loved. If I lose, I'm not loved. Who doesn't want their parents to love them? Who doesn't want their coaches to love them, right? So you're going to do everything you can to win, but then it becomes so much pressure that you're no longer competing to win. You're competing not to get beat, which is a really terrible place to compete from mentally, emotionally, physically, everything. I've been on both sides, right? Whenever you can just go out and compete and wrestle and open up, you're not even thinking about the pressure. It's the most enjoyable experience in the world. Whenever you're so afraid to lose or afraid of a negative outcome that you no longer just wrestle, you're like just hoping you don't get beat, or you're just trying to hang on and win a 1-point match. It does not make wrestling enjoyable. And then everything about your life begins to kind of like tailspin. And it's not good. And people, I think, don't realize that a lot of times in sports. Again, as parents, we know that a parent loves their kid fully, hopefully, most people. I would say 99% of parents love their kids fully, right? But the way that they show that may not be the correct way. And they may not even know that they're doing it in a way that their kid equates those things with love or a lack of love. So education is a big part in this, man. You know, when I look at little kids wrestling, I've heard Heath Esslinger say this. You go to a kids wrestling tournament, and before the tournament starts, kids are running around the mat. They're wrestling live. They're jumping on each other. They're having a phenomenal time. And then all of a sudden, somebody gets on the mic, and they're like, hey, clear the mats. And everybody clears the mats. And now it's serious. And you got, you know, the kids club dad in the corner with the hat on backwards and big chew in his lip, and he's spitting and screaming at his kid. And that's not fun, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, they were having fun doing what's natural for kids. Wrestling is a natural sport. They were being kids, having fun, and actually learning skills, right? They're running around the mats, doing cartwheels and rolls. And all of a sudden we put this like adult model and adult pressure on kids, and it's not fun anymore. And then you grow up trying to be the best wrestler, dealing with all that stuff, a lot of mental things can happen to you, you know, which affect you in a lot of areas. So I'm glad you brought that up, man. And, you know, you maybe weren't as successful in your mind as you want to be. So you say you're bringing this from this experience or this knowledge, this wisdom from a place of failure, but it's also a place of success too. I mean, you're a two-time state champion in two different states that are great wrestling states. Two premier programs. So you've wrestled at some of the highest levels under some of the best coaches. Didn't do what you wanted to do in college. Like you said, if you could go back, you could change that. But so you're coming from a lot of success too. And then as an author and as a speaker, but in life, man, it's a continual battle, right? It's a continual wrestling match. And we're always, so let me kind of transition that into faith and you're in your own personal walk right now as a family man, as an author, speaker, those type of things. Maybe what are some of the daily habits or things that you try to do to stay connected with God to make sure that your faith is where it should be, the things that you do that helps you, because maybe somebody listening and me, I can take some of those things and employ or implement them in my own life.
Yeah. You mentioned it in the question is habits. Like I think a lot of people today, they kind of steer clear of habits or rituals. Thinking that it's, you know, too mundane and that God can't enter into those moments. And we go reaching for these like spiritual experiences where we can feel God. And I've been there, but I've learned more and more that your daily habits and things that you're doing, these rituals that you are making happen on a daily basis are incredibly important. So one thing that I do every morning, so I wake up extra early every morning when no one's awake. So it's just my time to be with myself. And I read the Bible and I pray. And sometimes, you know, and I think this is why people steer clear from habits is and look for experiences is sometimes you read the Bible and you don't feel what you want to feel. Or you're praying and it seems like the thoughts aren't coming. Maybe you feel like you're not even saying the right thing, or that if someone was sitting there listening to you, they'd be like, man, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. But it's not about that. It's just the act of doing that on a daily basis and seeking God, whether it's in the word or in prayer. Because sometimes I do have those moments where it's just a mundane ritual that I'm doing and I don't feel any connection, but sometimes he blesses me with that experience and connection where I really feel him. I've had times where, you know, I'm yawning during my prayer or yawning while I'm reading the Bible. I'm just exhausted and I'm just not into it. And I've had times where I weep and I cry. I have times where I'm just sitting at the kitchen table praying, and I've had times that I'm down on my hands and my knees and I'm praying. But that ritual of doing that every day is very, very important. I think, you know, we have other daily rituals that we do or habits that we don't even think about, and making a spiritual ritual or habit is incredibly important to your growth as a person and growth in your faith. And then apart from that, and not everybody would connect to this either, but I read a lot and a lot of it's theology. So I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to that, but I love reading theology. I love how it gets me thinking about God and thinking about faith and just the whole gamut, just getting my mind to think about him is really important to me. It's kind of a special thing, because not everybody's into that stuff. But I love it, and I feel connected to him when I'm reading something that causes me to be thinking about him rather than something else.
So daily, and I'm 100% with you, man. Like creating, so let's just say physically, right? Physically, like working out matters to me. My wife likes me much better when I work out, and it has nothing to do with physical prowess. It has to be, I'm a better, nicer person when I work out. Okay. It matters to me. Eating well matters to me because those are things I'm passionate about. And so I create these daily habits and daily rituals, and I do them consistently, and consistency over time, you get results. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we do the same thing with our spiritual life? You know, so daily prayer, daily, you know, reading your Bible. Let's address those real quick, because maybe some people have never done either one of those, or maybe some people feel like I would like to do that, but they grew up in a church or a household or a thought process like, I got to read my Bible an hour a day, and I got to pray so long or whatever. And if I don't, then I'm not doing it right. Like for you, do you, and there's nothing wrong with this. Let's just say like I make it a goal. Hey, I'm going to read 5 pages a day, whether it's reading in a book or reading in my Bible, right? Or I'm going to read a chapter a day in my Bible. What is your thought process on, and if somebody's trying to start these habits, okay, they want to start a prayer habit, daily prayer in the morning with God or evening with God or whatever, they want to start reading their Bible. How do they go about it, man? Like, what do you suggest?
Yeah, man, I don't even put a timetable on it. So when I'm doing it in the morning, it's not like I have to read this amount or I have to do this for 20 minutes or something. I don't do anything like that. Mm. I literally grab my Bible and I keep it short and simple. I'll read like the next chapter in the book of the Bible that I'm reading. That's it. And it could be, I could be reading for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's all I need. And pray. Like sometimes my prayer is the same thing over and over again. I realized that just recently that, man, I'm praying about the same thing. It's nothing new. And I came from a background where I almost felt like I had to bring something new to the table in my prayer every single time. Otherwise it wasn't real. But I realized along the way that it's okay if you're praying the same thing over and over again every morning. You're praying and you're seeking him. And if that's all that comes to mind, and that's all that you recite every morning is the same stuff over and over again, great. But I also grew up in an environment, you know, whether church environment or just spiritual environment, where you felt compelled or, I don't know, coerced that you had to spend a certain amount of time and you had to do this every day. I think you got to wrestle with that personally. And I did, to thinking about, you know, I'm not doing this because I feel that I have to. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I kind of want to, and I want to set aside this time to do it. It doesn't, and like I said, I don't put a timetable on it at all. If I'm only spending 5 minutes, great. That's 5 minutes. If it's 15, great. But I'm just that routine and that ritual I'm doing every day. So for that person, wrestle with it internally. Why do you want to do it? Is it because you're trying to, you know, get those 15 minutes in to make you feel good about yourself? Or do you really want to seek and connect? Because if you really just want to seek, you have a seeking heart and you want to grow spiritually, there's no timetable on that. You can spend 5 minutes and do that.
Yeah. I think that probably just broke some strongholds over somebody or just gave them some freedom right there. Which is great. You know, and like I said, why not? If you want to be the best version of yourself, and I know for me, it's not about being the best version of myself. Like I'm a better person when I lift weights, right? Or when I work out, but I know 100% whenever I can tell you my attitude, my actions, all those things, whenever I am not connecting with God, when I'm not reading my Bible, when I'm not praying, I very easily drift into somebody I don't want to be or attitudes I don't want to have. You know, maybe it's a temperament with my children or my wife or whatever, but because I believe Jesus is my savior. And whenever I read my Bible and I pray and I do these things consistently, habitually, I feel like I'm able to connect with God. I feel like you said, sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. But either way, I know that there's that daily connection. There's that time spent, and it makes every other area of my life a little better. And I can't say, you know, people who maybe don't know Jesus would think like, oh, these Christians, like they think it's all rainbows and sunshine, and it's not, right? The Christian life is not easy, man. We talk about wrestling a lot, and it's a wrestling match. It's a battle. But I would rather be going through that battle and that wrestling match in a relationship with God and turning it over to Him than to do it on my own. Because I've tried both ways. And whenever I tried to do it on my own, I wasn't very successful. And sometimes when I'm doing it with God, I still try to take over and be the guy and run my own life. And I'm not very successful every time. So it's much better when I turn it over to God, whether everything is rainbows and sunshine or I'm going through adversity, you know? So that's the experience there. All right, man. I always like to, as we get ready to close out and wrap this up, call this fast feet, right? You gotta think fast on your feet. And it's up to you. You can share about one of these, or you can pick all three and just expound as much as you want. All right. But I want you to tell me about a highlight, a hardship, or a hero in your life. Highlight, hardship, or hero, or a little of each.
Okay. Given where I'm at currently, and also, you know, my whole premise on faith and wrestling is, you know, we've talked about it's a battle. I'll go with hardship. Normally the story that I share when it comes to hardship or really my faith and wrestling journey, usually there's a different story that comes to mind and I share that. But more recently, in my life, I lost my little brother, a couple months ago. Very unexpected, and very, very heartbreaking. And we're still in the midst of it. And there's a lot of questions that come to mind when you think about your faith, your spirituality, and you lose someone so close to you. And, you know, my brother, he was a reader of Faith and Wrestling. He was a big fan. And I just remember some years back him putting up this post about he had just finished the book. And just his reaction and experience and thanking me for writing it and coming from him, you know, I'm his brother. We were always, you know, we loved each other, but growing up, we were at each other's throats sometimes, you know, very competitive with one another. And to read that and to see and understand his experience in reading something that his brother wrote was really impactful to me. And that's been a more recent hardship that we've been dealing with. And for those listening, you know, I know we talk about, you know, I'll give you my thoughts and prayers and stuff like that. And it's almost kind of a knee-jerk reaction response, but in all honesty, thoughts and prayers are really, really powerful and important, especially if you're a person of faith. Because in a weird way, I feel it, man. When people reach out to me and check up on me and or anybody in my family, it means a lot. Just a little text, a little call. Hey, we're praying for you. Man, it means a lot to me. But yeah, that losing my brother has been a part of my faith and wrestling journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, in the big picture. So one of the things I love about wrestling is there's a lot of things I love about wrestling, but you really learn to deal with adversity, but it's in a safe place. Now we make it this big giant thing in our minds, right? Because it becomes such a big part of our lives. But losing a family member, losing your brother, and losing a wrestling match, you can't even compare the two. So sport in and of itself is a safe place to learn lessons, good lessons, bad lessons, hard lessons, and then being on top of the mountain, right? All everything that comes with that. But whenever you deal with, you know, real life tragedy, it's a whole different level of wrestling with God and wrestling with your faith and depending on God and your faith and those type of things. So, you know, I know I'm praying for you and those listening, you know, so it's a very, very difficult thing. And there are no words. I've lost people that are close to me before. There are no words that can suffice on my ends. But I also know that you and your family are close and that you guys are leaning on God during these times as well. So let me ask you this, you know, if you are to write another book in the future, and maybe you will, maybe you won't, because I know that right now you go and you speak to a lot of college teams. Those who end up watching the video later on, you got a Benedictine shirt on right now, which I love. Here in Kansas, where I'm from. Yeah, so I know you came in, you worked with them. Coach Cobbs is a good buddy of mine. And but if you were to write another book in the future and then maybe speak on it later, do you think, will it be another wrestling connected book? Will it be another book that connects wrestling and faith, since those are your passions? Or will it be something like trying to bring in the outside world into this as well? What do you think?
Man, you know, sitting here on the spot, it would probably be faith and wrestling related, just because I have been tremendously blessed by the response of the wrestling community. With them, you know, it's funny because when Jack Spates read the book and he read it in its entirety, he called me up before I published it and he said, you know, Mike, for me, this is incredible because, you know, he has a degree in ministry. You know, he has a MDiv, you know, he has a master's level education in theology and stuff like that. He goes, you're going to give this to the wrestling community, wrestlers in particular. We're not deep thinkers. And I'm like, and I said, he goes, you sure you don't want to, you know, fix it up, dumb it down a little bit? And I'm like, you know what? I think wrestlers they are deep thinkers and they will take this content and they'll apply it, use it and apply it in a tremendous way. And I think they have, and that's been incredible. And I think continuing to give back to the wrestling community, I think any future project is probably going to be wrestling related. Because honestly, I think whether it's my material or others like yours, people in the wrestling community can do the branching out. They can use this material and they can branch out to people who are outside the wrestling community. And I've had people reach out to me and tell me they've done just that. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Well, selfishly, I was kind of hoping that's what I would hear, because your books are about, and then I'll tell you this, you know, what Jack said, what Coach Spates said. So when I very first, you know, read Faith and Wrestling, I mean, well, actually, yeah, probably all of your books at some point, I had to study. Like I would like be reading and I would stop, and I did not go to seminary. I did not have a theology degree, and I've studied the Bible a lot, but there were times I would be like, contextually, I could just pick up some things. But sometimes I'd be like, I'm not even sure what that word is. So I have to like look it up, but I got to study along the way and I got to learn along the way. So I enjoy reading the book and learn from the book, but like, I feel like I was literally growing in the process too, which I think is very important. And there are times people just want to grab a fictional book and read and just zone out like they're watching a movie, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. And I probably should do more of that because I read a lot of deep reading. But for me, I enjoy getting to read a book and actually learn something new and to have to broaden my base a little bit and self-educate. And I love that. And I am an educator. I'm a teacher. But I think self-education is one of the most valuable and best things in the world when you get to study the things that you want to study and the areas that you want to grow in. So in reading your books, I've been challenged to do that, you know? Yeah. So, and I think that somebody who, like you said, maybe isn't a deep thinker, could still read the book and get plenty out of it. But for those who really want to kind of push themselves, you can make this a study as well. So, all right, Mike, man, I'll let you go because we could be on here forever, but before I do, like, where can people connect with you on social media? Maybe they want to bring you in as a speaker for their team or even corporately, or maybe they want to order your books, man. Like, and I'm going to put all these things in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Books, I mean, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, they're all there. It's easy to find. As far as reaching out to me, email, faithandwrestlingforlife@gmail.com. So it's faith and wrestling written out, the number 4 and then life@gmail.com. Facebook, you can find me. There's also, I do have a Faith in Wrestling Facebook page that you can follow as well. And yeah, so you could reach out to me there. During the summertime, lots of Faith in Wrestling clinics and camps. I get to travel around the country and do that. During the fall, I actually do my own marketing to colleges, universities around the country, and reach out to them, and or they reach out to me, and I get to do a college circuit during the fall. So I call it the Faith in Wrestling Fall Tour that I get to do. And this next fall will be 4 years in a row that I've been able to do that. And some schools have committed to just bring me back. So Benedictine is one. I've been there twice, 2 years in a row. William Penn, I've been there 3 years in a row. And it's just been incredible to connect with wrestlers and talk about these important things, because I do believe, you know, there's this stereotype about, you know, muscle heads, hard heads about wrestlers. They just put their heads down and grind. We are just as much thinkers, and whether it's like a philosophy of life or whatever it might be, the faith, we have incredible discussions, even little kids at these camps and speaking engagements, incredible questions and discussions that we have. Yeah. It's blown my mind. It's been incredibly fulfilling for me personally.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, you know, anybody that's listening, man, if you are someone who brings in people to speak to your team, to run camps and clinics, you have connections, people who do that. I'm telling you right now, like, bring Michael Fessler in, bring him in, let him talk to your people. He is going to positively impact them in a great way. And they're going to walk away either having questions about, like, hey, where am I at right now as a wrestler, and where am I at right now with my faith, or now I know what I need to do to grow, and all those things. So I love it, man. Michael, you are positively impacting the wrestling community and beyond, big time. You're using your platform to glorify Jesus and to be an icon, right? So to be able to reflect God's image. So I appreciate you as a person, as a friend, and thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. So, all right, everybody. Well, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Until next time, may God bless you, smile upon you, and peace. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love, and God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.